All right, everybody scooch in a little bit. Let's make some room. Packed house here, especially on the third row. All right. Well, this chapter of Genesis has so much stuff in it. And there's a lot of types in the Bible. There's a lot of things that resemble Jesus Christ. And so Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10. This is the time when Jacob uses a stone for a pillow. I know. We talked about Christ as the rock in the last couple Sunday schools, and now it's this. And so, I don't know. I mean, that's where we're at. But lots of types here. Genesis 28, verse 10. The Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So this stone that Jacob, or the stones, really the stones that Jacob uses for a pillow, become significant in seven ways in here. And all of these ways resemble Jesus Christ. And so it's pretty neat how this works out. And so I'm going to show you the seven, and maybe something to study out, something to look further into, but I'll show you these things here in this chapter, and then we'll go home. But let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for this time together, and I pray it's helpful. There's so many layers to your words, and this is a great type of Jesus Christ, and so I pray that you'd help us see Christ in the scriptures here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Jacob has, in the previous chapter, he's tricked Esau, or tricked Isaac, and got, the story. Now Esau is just completely mad at Jacob, and so Jacob's a little bit... He doesn't really want to see Esau, and so he's hoping there's one day that he can make peace with Esau. And so he goes out, but he goes in the right direction. He goes where he's supposed to go, and finds a place to rest, takes some rocks, and makes a little bed. And then in that place, there's these several things happen with these rocks and with the stone. And so those things that happen with this stone that keeps getting mentioned are things that relate to Jesus Christ. And it's pretty neat how it all lays out. And there's seven of them in here. And I'm going to give them to you, and you can do with them with what you need. But seven ways the stone resembles Christ. The first way is the rest. I thought it's weird to think that he would find rest on a rock. When I read that, I don't think, that's the thing I would use for a pillow. I don't know what else, I guess, in nature, but you don't think of a rock being the first thing that comes to mind if I want to go to sleep, that I'm going to find a rock and put my head on it. But he finds rest on this rock. And undoubtedly, there is Jesus Christ as the rock, as we've gone over the last couple weeks multiple times here in Sunday school, about Jesus Christ as the rock. To find rest in the rock, find rest in the stone, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ says over there in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so there's rest that gets found in the rock. And it just seems unusual, but that's what happens with Jacob. And as he finds rest, that's the first thing, as he finds rest on this rock, he gets a really clear view of access from heaven to earth. And I know the ladder, we talked about the ladder being a good type of Christ, as Jesus Christ even said so much in John chapter 1. But this rock that's provided him rest, now he has a dream. And he gets a very clear view of communication and transportation from heaven to earth. And so the second thing in this rock that he finds, apart from this rest and in addition to the rest, is he finds a real clear view of access to heaven. And that's something you see in Jesus Christ. He is, like he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so there's a very clear understanding of access to glory, access to sinlessness, access to what is above. And so Jacob gets a very clear view of access to heaven from earth on this stone as he sleeps. The third thing that happens is that Jacob, during this whole dream sequence, is not only does he see heaven and earth connected, and not only does he see access to heaven from earth and access to earth from heaven, is he receives the promise of God. And that is in Jesus Christ. And I know we talked about it a little bit last week, but in Jesus Christ, that is where the promises are found. So as Jacob laid his head on this rock, he finds rest. He finds very clear access from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. And he also receives the promise. He receives the promise of God. As God tells him, the land that I promised to Abraham and to Isaac, I'm going to give you the land. And so he receives the promise, just like all the promises. I think about it in fact, I'll read it to you. But over there in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 1, where he talks about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All the blessings are in Christ. And so the promise, it's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And so whatever's in Christ, that's who gets
the promises of God, and whoever is outside of Christ, that's who doesn't get the promises of God. So Jacob receives a promise on this stone, and something interesting happens in this place. As you go forward and read a little bit here, Jacob has this, he's got the dream, he gets the promise, he has clear view of access to heaven from here. And when he wakes up, the Bible says in verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep, said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid, said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." But look down in verse 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Just curious, does anybody know what Luz means? It means light, loose. It's like light. So the place that was once called light is now called Bethel. Anybody know what Bethel means? It's what Jacob just said. It's the house of God. So the place that was called light is now called the house of God. It's kind of interesting. Like Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he becomes the ark, so to speak, or the house. He builds the household of God, and so it's the place where light becomes the house of God. That was kind of neat. It's the place where light becomes the household of God, or the house of God. And so that's in verse 19 there. So Jacob renames the place of this stone. He calls it Bethel. And that, of course, that'll become very significant in the future for Israel. But he calls it Bethel, the house of God. And it was formerly called Light, or Luz, or Luz. So it's a place where light becomes the house of God. And so that's Jesus Christ, light of the world. And then he becomes as the light of the world, becomes the instrument or the person in which, if you're in Christ, then that's, like we said, that's where the blessings are. But that's the building of God, so to speak. Like he talks about the temple. And he was talking about his body being a temple. And so, anyhow, so Jacob renames this place where the stone is. And then he uses that stone, those rocks, to build an altar. And it's a memorial. And it's a memorial of this. This is the fifth thing, if you're counting. This is the fifth thing. He builds an altar, and it's a memorial of the place that God met him. And that's significant, because Jesus Christ is the place that God meets anybody. And if God's going to meet you, he's going to meet you in Jesus Christ, and that's where he meets you. And it's you know, people, I don't know, I haven't heard one say it in a while, but it's been a few months. I think I was talking to a lady, and she was talking about getting to God. And so I don't know how we got onto that part of it, but it was like, well, if you're going to get to God, you have to go to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only God you can get. I mean, he's the only way you get to God. And so that is the place where Jacob meets God, and Jesus Christ, where the stone is, Jesus Christ, he is where people meet God. I remember, I think it was Philip, and he says, tells the Lord, he says, well, show us the Father. And Jesus Christ says, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Like, this is what you're looking for, God, and I'm God. I'm God in the flesh. And so that's the connection. So Jacob builds an altar with this stone. It's a memorial and a place where God met him. And just like Jesus Christ, that's where people meet God. Number six. Jacob anoints this stone with oil, and it just reminds me of the... So he takes these stones, and he starts to build this altar. And after he builds this altar with the stones that provided rest for him, the stones that gave him clear access to and clear understanding of and visibility of heaven and earth and things like that, and access to heaven. And Jacob receives the promise on these stones. He renames the place. He builds the altar to remember, this is the place God met with me. And then he pours oil on these stones, and it's like the Holy Spirit of God, the oil, all that kind of stuff, as sort of a type, as Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the anointed. His name, his very name, Christ, is Messiah. That's anointed. That's the one that God has chosen, the one that God has that God would use. It would be God manifest in the flesh. And so these stones that Jacob rested on, they are anointed stones, just like Jesus Christ, anointed. That's his very, it's in his name, the anointed. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And then the last thing is this, the stone becomes the building or the house of God at the very end here. He said this, verse 22, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And it kind of coincides with the whole changing of the name of the place to Bethel. But it's more directly stated here in verse 22. It said, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. This stone will be God's house. And just like Jesus Christ, I mean, he is the building of God. He is the house. I mean, this is the house of God here. It is not made with hands and all that kind of thing. It is Jesus Christ is the ark. He is the temple of God. He is the place where souls get into, and then in Jesus Christ you find rest and you find hope and you find joy and you find forgiveness of sins and you find all those things. And so the stone becomes the house of God. And so in these seven ways, and that, well, we won't further develop them, I'll just give them to you that way here and you can think about it. But this stone, it just keeps showing up, or these stones keep showing up, and it's just like every time Jacob mentions something about him, it resembles Jesus Christ in every single way. And so Jacob's stone pillow, which turns out starts off kind of a weird thing, you know, he's going to lay on this stone, but there's a reason it's put in here. And in seven ways, this stone, or this set of stones that Jacob lays on here, they resemble Jesus Christ. They provide rest. From these stones, Jacob gets a clear view of access to heaven. From these stones, Jacob receives the promise of God. From these stones, Jacob renames this place the house of God, from light to the house of God. It's the transition. It's light that lights all men, just like Jesus Christ, and it becomes the house of God, just like Jesus Christ. So it's the place where light becomes the house of God. It's also a memorial. It's a memorial where God would meet with him, and God did meet with him. And it's an anointed place. It's anointed stones, particularly, just like Jesus Christ and his very name, Christ anointed. And then lastly, the stones become the house of God. As Jacob said, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee, and so on. That's verse 22. So the stone becomes God's house. And just like Jesus Christ, that's Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. In him is life, and outside of him is no life. And so seven ways the stones that Jacob lays on are like Christ. And so I hope that's helpful. That's a little bit of something for tonight. And so with that said, I'll pray and we'll We'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. A very cursory view of just some types here in this chapter, but something to think about, something to take home with us, and pray it's useful. I think it's always useful to think about Jesus Christ, and I pray we'd apply these things where they need to be applied, and maybe help us understand our Bibles a little more, and why you put certain things in the Bible that you want to put in the Bible. So thank you for each soul that's here, and for those that are traveling, I pray that you'd keep them safe, and those that are under the weather and sick, I pray that you'd give them grace, help them heal up, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.